And we're live. What's going on, everybody?
What up?
Yeah, we're back again. We took a little hiatus, but we are back here doing our thing.
Yeah.
What's going on, Mr. Q?
I'm good, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. But before we get started, just shout out to all the listeners, all the people that are out there supporting us. Just want to encourage everybody to follow us on all the socials. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you know, what's the other one? TikTok. Obviously, like and share the YouTube channel. We're putting out content at least once a week. So just be checking us out. And yeah, so I just wanted to put that out there. And of course, if you guys want to have us like talk about anything in particular, hit us up. I'm always open to new topics and stuff like that. But I feel like since the last time we did a podcast was probably like 2-3 weeks ago, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I feel like a lot has been going on. And, you know, I got a few stories that I want us to kind of go over. But I know I didn't put it in the notes, but one of the things that that happened you know, right before we left off last time was, you know, that whole Diddy situation with Cassie and that video that came out. I remember sharing with you, you know, a headline about it, but because we weren't here, we didn't really get to comment on it or talk about it much. So, but not that we've got time. Were you able to see that video, and when you saw it, what'd you think about it?
I did see the video, and I was it was something to see. Like I didn't.
It was heavy.
Yeah, I didn't like that, but I had so many questions. Like, what hotel was nobody didn't see anything like? What time it was, or like they was just happened to be the only two in the hallway.
Well, I mean, the hallways were empty, but obviously the people that are in charge of the security footage, they saw it. I'm sure they probably brought it up to.
It said $50,000 or something like that, right?
Yeah, that's what I heard, that he paid $50,000 for the video. But like at the same time, is if you're if you're the management of that hotel, like, you know, how do you even, like sell that? I mean, if you told me like a million, like, okay, I can see somebody just going after the money, but 50K, that just seems
that's
like
to me, something doesn't sound right. The math ain't mathing. I don't care what nobody say, because at the end of the day, this is a iconic person, superstar, two superstars. You got Diddy and you got Cassie. Somebody had to see something and be like, dude, 50,000? Really?
Yeah.
Honestly, if that had been me, I would probably went to the press. I probably would have went to the police immediately, because now I'm going to feel guilty that I saw this on my footage, on my shift. So you give me hush money for $50,000 and think I'm gonna be quiet. I just think that just,
well, I mean money talks, and I mean,
well, it didn't talk much, because years later the video came out.
Yeah, well, I to be honest, I think that the reason the video came out was because I think probably the FBI who raided his compound, his house, they probably leaked it out. At least that's what I'm hearing, that it's possible that, you know, the FBI working with him and trying to get him to cooperate.
Right.
And maybe he's not cooperating, and they're like, all right, you ain't cooperating, or we're going to put this stuff out there. And like, and maybe that's where it came from. I'm not sure. But yeah, man. But do you think, because he was denying everything. He was saying, like, people are trying to smear my name, you know, all this and that. And then this came out. And then what did you think about his apology?
It was not sincere. It was not sincere at all. I felt like it was just, it was a rota apology from his management, from his team. And say, okay, Diddy, you have to say this. He didn't even say he was sorry. He said he was sorry to his fans.
Yeah.
But not to Cassie.
No, yeah, he didn't even mention Cassie.
He didn't mention her name at all.
Yeah.
So, and it was a short apology. Like, it was like only what, no more than 35, 45 seconds.
Yeah. And like, you could, and like he recorded it on his iPhone.
On his, exactly. Like, he said, you know what? Okay. He read the script, what they gave him to say at the red light in the back seat of his foreign car. And he just said, I apologize to my fans. And I mean, he's an actor, so he knows how to put on a scene or a front to make me think they were sincere. I don't think not one person bought that.
Yeah.
Including himself.
Now, yeah, I know that weeks ago we talked about, separating the art from the artist and stuff like that. But do you feel like now that we've got this footage of Cassie out there, and that's the thing about it, that sometimes when you hear stuff that happens is one thing, but when you get a visual, it just takes it to a whole nother level. So that being said, do you think Diddy's done? Like, as we know it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I don't think he's done.
Do you think, you think he can bounce back from this?
He probably won't bounce back, but I don't think he's done. I don't think he's over because, today's world, people's attention span is so short. They will forget tomorrow. Honestly, right now, I haven't heard anything else about Diddy. I mean, he was like all in the press, all on social media a couple weeks ago, and it was like every outlet it was talking about did he do it? They was making all these memes and stuff. Now it's quiet. It's like you don't hear nothing. Like, you hear a little stuff here and there, but it's nothing like it was about a month ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, people do have a short, you know,
they move on to something else.
Yeah, yeah, the 24-hour news cycle, yeah, for sure. But I do think that while everything is being investigated, we're going to find out more, and eventually, they'll probably, you know, get him on some things.
Yeah.
And at that point, that's what I'm saying, like, if he's convicted of some of these things, like, I just wonder if he'll be, well, first of all, we don't know if he'll do any kind of time. And if he does, how long would that be? Because, like, for example, like, when they got R. Kelly for all that he did, I mean, he's been gone from the limelight. The only time, which is crazy, that his name comes up these days is when you got other, like, celebrities involved in, like, you know, similar scandals or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I feel like, it's going to be very hard for him to bounce back. Now, I will say this, especially here in the United States, you know, people love a comeback story. People love to you know, they love a redemption story. So I'm not going to say 100% that he couldn't come back from this situation. It's all going to depend on what all they dig up and find, and they're able to convict him on. But yeah, there is a possibility that he could bounce back. But yeah, I mean, that video was very hard to watch, man. And, like, you know, as a man, as a, you know, husband, brother, you know, like, one of the things that was my takeaway is, like, where was Cassie's, like, family? Like, where's her daddy at? Where's her brothers or cousins? Like, people that know him, know her. How come no one stepped up to be like, hey, bro? Maybe not back then if they didn't know about it, but, like, definitely now. Like, you know what I'm saying? Well, like,
that's true. You say that, but do you think they actually going to like just go over to Diddy's house and say, "Man, why you stole my sister like that?" I don't really think they probably could get in the gate. So,
But I would catch him somewhere.
I don't think that was going to happen either, because I feel like once that video surfaced, he knew what time it was. He knew he needed to go into 24-hour surveillance, or his guys going to take care of anything he need to get done, so you won't even see Diddy. And he knew what he was doing, because after that situation, even after the house got raided, he was on a plane immediately going to a different country. And yeah. So this guy, he knew he already got a backup plan, and they saying in his house there's a dungeon that leads to this and leads to that. So who knows, man? At the end of the day, honestly, yeah, this may sound mean, but those are rich people problems.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say they're rich people problems, because there's definitely people that ain't got that kind of money and still doing like domestic violence and all this stuff like that. But obviously, being in the limelight definitely puts a target on him for sure.
Oh yeah.
But yeah. Well, I mean, it's staying in the whole, you know, controversy thing. Like, there was also a lot going on when it came to Drake and Kendrick Lamar and that whole beef situation. And there was a lot of allegations back and forth. I mean, there was some domestic violence, allegations from Drake's part, talking about Kendrick and his girlfriend, wife, whatever, and how he...
I also heard that he removed all his this for Kendrick Lamar off of social media.
Yeah, I saw that too, where Drake apparently removed everything that had to do with the beef situation off his social media. I mean, that I kind of take that as saying, you know what, it is what it is, it happened, I'm ready to move on, or whatever. But I thought it was interesting, some of the allegations that was going back and forth. And of course, Kendrick on his part, made some allegations about Drake, especially about him being a pedophile. And, I came across this, this article, that was released on Your Tango. And this article, I'm just going to read a little bit, but it kind of details six different instances where Drake had been accused of grooming underage girls. And it goes on to talk about interactions with a 17-year-old fan at a concert in 2010. And then rumors of a relationship with Kylie Jenner when she was 16. And especially when he performed at her 16th birthday. And then another one when apparently he was dating an 18-year-old, Bella Harris, after meeting her at the age of 16. And then they speculated that relationships with young girls and young artists like Georgia Smith. And then there's the whole situation with Billie Eilish. Apparently he was texting back and forth with her when she was 17. And he maintained a close friendship with Millie Bobby Brown when she was 14. And, when I hear some of that stuff, what do you think about?
Well, every person, if you notice here lately, the trend is like every artist have a alter ego. Like, they have something that they dealt with, or they have addiction, whether it's pornography, whether it's a pedophile, whether it's underage girls, whether it's just drugs. And maybe this is his. Like, maybe this is something that he gets off on, I mean, it's all allegedly, but I don't know. I think it's that's suspicious to me. you know?
Well, you know, what I would say is one of the things that I've noticed about Drake, especially over the years, he seems to like catch artists as they're coming up and sort of like befriend them so that as they're blossoming in their careers or their endeavors, like he can kind of attach himself to them and kind of keep himself relevant, you know? So for example, like that Millie Bobby Brown, you know, she's obviously the main star in Stranger Things. And, you know, they're talking about like, you know, there's been some interviews where she talks about them texting back and forth and this and that. And, you know, like I can see from an artist standpoint, like, okay, trying to remain relevant, especially with the young crowd, because you got like the Billie Eilish of the world that was also coming up. And they were talking about her going back, texting back and forth with him. And at the time she was 17. But I can see, like I said, from an artist standpoint, trying to remain relevant, especially with the young crowd, especially if you align yourself with them. But from another standpoint, I look at it like, wait a minute. Okay. So if I'm the father of Billie Eilish or, you know, Millie, you know, Bobby Brown and whatever. And I'm like, okay, I got this dude, like he's like in his late 20s at the time, maybe early 30s, texting my daughter. Like she's like 15, 16. I'm going to be like, all right, that's a little weird. Yeah. That's
ain't
a bit
good about that. It's a lot of weird.
No, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So, but none of them, because even when they've talked about in interviews or whatever, none of them have said anything negative about their interactions or being anything like sexual or inappropriate. So there's that. So I don't know. You know, it's kind of similar in a way, you know, with the whole Michael Jackson situation. People were trying to say that, you know, he was a pedophile too, and obviously he was with little boys, supposedly. And but I mean, Michael Jackson had a lot of issues. I mean, he didn't even have a childhood.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the whole reason why he had.
Anybody who has mice as a pet. And
mice, yeah. I thought he had a monkey.
No, I'm talking about when he was a kid, like they would have like rats and stuff in their house.
Oh,
and he
okay.
would try to catch them and try to keep them for a pet.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
So anybody that does stuff like that, they are capital S special.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously, the guy, like I said, he didn't have a childhood.
He didn't.
And he was abused by his dad.
Yeah.
So
he wanted
pets,
so.
I mean, so yeah, he definitely has some mental issues. And of course, him trying to change the way he looked and all that. Obviously, he wasn't very happy with himself. Yeah. And, you know, all the accusations that he had at the time, you know, he was acquitted from all of those. So from a legal standpoint, he wasn't guilty of any of that. But at the same time, you know, like when people talk about him having kids at Neverland and stuff like that. Okay, well, maybe it was very weird, but at the same time, it's like, where's the parents? Don't put it all on him. Oh, where's the parents? If you're the ones that are letting, you know, your kid, you know, come over and stuff like that.
I think the parents had a hidden agenda. They felt like, oh, this is going to be your ticket to have success in the industry or something. And so they say, you know what? Since Michael noticed you, or you noticed Michael, and you guys are friends. I'm just going to drop you off and hoping that this will be a good come up.
Now, I do think that there's a lot of like pedophilia stuff like that, especially in Hollywood. I mean, I'm sure that you heard that whole thing with Nickelodeon and everything that was coming out of that, and some of the actors that were saying, you know, that they had issues with some of the showrunners and producers within Nickelodeon.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure it is a bigger problem than people give it attention to. And I think I do, a lot of times they do kind of brush it under the rug and just try to be like, well, you know, show must go on type thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wild. But you know, right before I came, I saw another story that came out. I saw, you know, Shannon Sharp recently did an interview with Ray J. And Ray J claims during that interview that him and Kim paved the way for OnlyFans, and more people would be going to college if it weren't for the, you know, for their sex tape. And I just want to reach a little bit of that interaction. So Ray J claims that he and Kim Kardashian's infamous sex tape paved the way for the success of platforms like OnlyFans. He argues that their tape, which was released in 2007, set a precedent for monetizing personal and explicit content. Ray J contends that this incident helped to normalize and even glamorize the sharing of intimate content for profit, ultimately leading to the rise of subscription-based content platforms such as OnlyFans. He also accused Kris Jenner of orchestrating the release of the sex tapes to catapult Kim to fame. He alleges that Jenner reviewed and chose the tape and would be best promote and it would be, and that it would best promote the Kardashians' image. Despite Jenner's public denials and a lie detector test to claiming otherwise. So, first of all, you know, with the whole rise of this whole OnlyFans thing, do you believe Ray J?
Yeah.
You do?
I do. Because okay. Think about it. Like, as far as a sex tape, I don't remember any tape that came out but Ray J and Kim. I can't think of any other tape that ever came out that went public, that it was a big hit and that people out of the years are still talking about it. Like you said, this happened in 2007, you say?
Yeah.
And I'm still hearing about it today in 2024.
Yeah, but at the time, there were other sex tapes that came out. Paris Hilton, Pamela Anderson, and Tommy Lee.
But it wasn't no Kim K and Ray J.
Well.
Because I think at that time, Ray J was hot. Ray J was on top of his prime. Like, he was doing stuff, music, and he was.
Yeah, Ray J was, yeah.
Yeah, and everybody
Kim was nobody, though.
Exactly. So Ray J was huge because that was the brother of Brandy. So everybody knew Brandy. Everybody followed Brandy, so everybody knew Brandy had a brother named Ray J, and so that just linked that to that, and so it was easy for him to put the tape out because he knew it was going to draw content, it was going to draw the clout.
Well, but again, he claims that he didn't want to put it out, that it was more, it was Kris Jenner's idea, like the mom, which, to be honest, I believe when he says that, but to the point that it gave rise to the OnlyFans phenomenon that we have nowadays, I don't think so. Now, I do think that catapulted her image once they started doing those Keeping Up with the Kardashian, show.
Right.
But I think it did give the rise for, like, more girls trying to be more curvy and like, you know, the big butts and all that. I think it did bring that into the forefront. And like, you know, nobody wanted to be skinny anymore. You know, girls wanted to be all very curvy and voluptuous. So I think Kim did change the game in that regard and how women looked at themselves. But I was looking at, I did some a little bit of digging on this, and OnlyFans was launched in 2016. So in other words, it wasn't until like 9 years later that OnlyFans came about. And in 2018, the owner of another website called MyFreeCams. Are you familiar with MyFreeCams?
Yeah.
So for people that don't know, MyFreeCams is like a, it's like a adult website that you can like watch girls online, basically do cam work. Mm-hmm. And that dude, he bought 75% of OnlyFans, and they needed his investment in order to be able to scale the platform. So I think that his influence, because he was already in the adult entertainment, mm-hmm. I feel like his influence in the company to bring in more adult content had a lot to do with it. And then what happened in 2019, 2020? The COVID pandemic came about, and I think that COVID, because no one could go anywhere, everything was about, you know, watching stuff online, Netflix, Hulu,
streaming.
A bunch of people were doing a lot of streaming online. So I think that that catapulted the, in my opinion, the company to where it is now. So, which is crazy because like, when you hear stories about the kind of bread some of these people make, I'm like, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, and the funny thing about it is when OnlyFans came out, it was supposed to be a platform for like all kinds of creators. Like if you were into cooking or mm-hmm. like, I don't know, you play music or anything like that.
From my understanding, it was supposed to be very private as far as like craft, like you said, cooking and DIY projects, getting to know people on a personal, private basis. You know, you subscribe and then you get to see them inside their house, like, almost like it's their own personal reality show, and it only for the fans only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of gave us a certain select few that were willing to pay a more intimate glimpse into your life. And like, and if like you said, like if you have some kind of skill, mm-hmm. you know, you could kind of learn or get an insight about it in there. And really, and the last reason why I don't think that Kim had an influence when it came to the OnlyFans is because she never did it herself. You know, she never put any content of herself in that way. If anything, what she did was obviously, you know, along with her family, create that Kardashian show and really monetize the hell out of that in other ways.
Right.
Whether it was through, you know, makeup.
I can see that.
And like everything else that they all have done as a family, and which is crazy that every single one of them have become like some like, you know, mogul in a way. Mm-hmm. And then of course they've always found ways to stay relevant, whether it is through like dating certain people. Obviously, they all have their, you know, long rap sheet of people they've been with. So I don't know if I believe Ray J on that one, but I do think that she definitely sparked, you know, this whole BBL situation we got now.
I think Ray J started her, but I think Kanye put her on the map.
Well, I think Kanye put it on the map in terms of fashion.
Yes, he flipped her world. Like, he changed her inside out.
Yeah.
And because she was just a regular chick you may see in the mall until she started dating Kanye and things started changing, her style, clothes, surgery, you know, stuff in her body. And then she became to be the Kim Kardashian.
No, yeah. I mean, she did have some popularity. And at one point, she used to be Paris Hilton's, like wardrobe consultant or something. But yeah, I mean, you know, shout out to her. I mean, she's been able to do a lot, even with, I mean, granted, yeah, Ray J and that sex tape has something to do with it, but you can't create a $1 billion, you know, company or empire from a sex tape if you don't know what you're doing, you know, or if you don't have other things. And as much as people say she's not talented, she ain't got no talent, that may be true in the sense, like, you know, she doesn't know how to play an instrument or like, you know, or whatever, but it takes talent to make that kind of money.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's so she's savvy for sure. So what else we got? I know some other stories that have been going on, and one of the things that I want to talk about too was you know, Jennifer Lopez. I know we talked about her a little bit last time we were here, and I mean, she's been on the news a little bit, and basically she announced that she was going to be canceling her North American summer tour. And there's some rumors that perhaps is something to do with her relationship with Ben Affleck. You know, she did express gratitude for the success of her Netflix movie Atlas, which is currently number one in the world right now. And in a newsletter statement, Lopez emphasized that despite the negativity, there's still a lot of love in the world. The cancellation of her tour, which was set to be her first one in 5 years, was confirmed by Live Nation, citing her need to spend time with her children, family, and close friends. Lopez reassured her fans that this decision was necessary and promised to make it up to them in the future. Now, there are some speculations about her marriage, and that was fueled by her solo appearance at the premiere of the Atlas movie. Although there was some clarification that Ben Affleck had to miss the event due to some filming, you know, commitments. So what do you think about this tour cancellation? Do you think it has anything to do with her marital troubles? Or
nope.
No?
Because those tickets was not selling before Ben Affleck.
So this is all a monetary situation.
Bruh, that it was quote-unquote trash.
What was trash?
Everyone that, according to social media, again, social media, the bully, everybody said the tickets was selling. And everybody said, why are they going to these shows? First of all, I think when the tour first started, the tickets was like, very, very expensive.
They were very high?
They were very high in the beginning. And then they started plummeting. They started dropping to the point where you can actually go for like $75. You're right.
Well,
and then they showed like the stadium, how it was just like empty.
You mean, but she hasn't started, so how would they be empty?
Well, she have... As far as ticket sales, that she had did a couple of shows, she have, but they didn't sell out.
Okay.
Yeah. She started a tour way, way a while ago. And then according to social media, and they were just, she had a lot of empty seats.
Well,
and this has happened before the situation with Ben Affleck. I think that would just an easy escape.
Cop out.
Yeah, to say, oh, okay, I can just use this because, I mean, at the end of the day, I love J-Lo. I think she's a great person. We have hung out, had a good time together. But I've noticed sometimes that she seems like, I'm not going to say she's a narcissist, but she comes off like, like a snob. Like people complain that she act like she just better than everyone. You know, I understand you're J-Lo, but at the same time, you gotta be, you gotta have a little humble inside, a little humble pie.
But my thing is like even beyond some of the things you kind of hear on social media about her attitude and stuff like that.
When I hung out with her,
okay, I hear you. But like, you know, she put out that movie, which for all intended purposes, I think it was a flop.
Which one?
That movie that came out with her album.
Oh, This Is Me Now or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and even that album, I heard nothing about it. I mean, I ain't heard nobody talking about any songs from that album. So my thing is like, the album seems to be a flop because no one's talking. There's no hit singles. There's no, you know, bopping song that's out there right now.
The music is a flop.
Like the movie seems to have been a flop because no one's talking about it at least not in a positive way. So to go on a tour, I'm assuming to back this album up, is like, well, I mean, who's gonna go? The thing, unfortunately, I don't know that. At this point in her career, she can do like arenas, like, you know, sold out arenas or whatever. I feel like, because I don't think she's got that many songs to begin with. She has some hits, you know, in the early 2000s, stuff like that. But I don't think she's got like a huge catalog that you can carry a whole 90-minute set on the road. I don't know, but I think she's better off like linking up with like with some other people. And like, for example, if she was to do a tour, let's say like her and like Pitbull and maybe somebody else or something like that, where, you know, not only do you get more artists, but as a consumer, you know, of the music, you think, okay, I'm getting more for my money, mm-hmm. You know, but if you only know two or three songs of hers, because the rest of her catalog is not that great, you don't really know that many songs and you're paying $200-$400. Like people are gonna be like, nah, man, I ain't doing that.
Honestly, if it was me, I would go to the show just to see her performance because she can dance. She can move. She always, and I can't take that from her. Like her voice is not the best. We all know that. We all know that's clear. We all know. But as far as her performance, putting on a show, she's gonna give you that. She's gonna give you that, and she's gonna give you her fashion. She's gonna have this. She's gonna have sex appeal. She got a nice body to be 50 plus years of age. So she's a beautiful woman. So I can't take that from her. Her style. And she's very urban. She could be classy. She can do either. She can really flow either way. But if I were paid the money to go see J-Lo, that would really interest me more. It just seeing her performance, not about her singing. I just want to see her perform, see her dance, see how she can move around. Because she's talented at that point, at that part of her career. I think she's talented. Like, I think she can move. Like, I would love to see her with Pitbull and Shakira. Or with Fat Joe or somebody like that and put on a whole show.
Yeah.
Where she have maybe like a 35-minute set and that's it. And then they could do like, cause she got a lot of nice tracks out with a lot of these other artists that she can like collaborate together. And I think it'd be a hot show.
Yeah.
But as far as her by herself going on tour, she playing herself.
Yeah, and I think that if she was part of an ensemble, yeah, like you said, with like Fat Joe or like, mm-hmm, Ja Rule,
yes,
Ashanti, or some of these, yeah, other people that...
Oh, Ashanti ain't going to do it. I'll tell you that now. No, Shantae is not going to do it. I already talked to her about this. She said, no,
they, I am they not. They got beef?
Bruh, a couple of those songs that J-Lo have was supposed to be Ashanti songs.
Okay, I think I did hear something about that.
Yeah, and so Ashanti like, hold on, these are supposed to be for me. And if you hear the song, it was set up for Ashanti, but J-Lo took it. They gave it to J-Lo. So it's not really, I'm not going to say it's J-Lo's fault. Maybe it's the management. Maybe it was the publicist. I mean, I don't know, you know, but I just feel like it was some shadiness going on in there somewhere. And they felt like instead of giving it to Ashanti, they're going to give it to J-Lo because she was hot at the moment. She made this movie about, what's her name?
Oh, it's Selena.
Selena. Yeah. So that was the only reason why she had a moment to get out there. And plus, she was on In Living Color as a backup dancer, one of the Flavor Girls.
Well, you know, to her credit, like, obviously, she's still making movies, too. And, like, apparently, the Atlas movie that's on Netflix right now apparently is ranking number one in the world.
And I think the reason why that's ranking number one in the world, bro, to be 100 with you, because nobody's going to movies and seeing it. People sitting at home and watching on Netflix.
Yeah, but like, even though it's Netflix is still number one, I mean, that's still a lot of people watching. My thing is like, is it really number one, or people like behind the doors, you know, maybe, you know, make it sound like maybe it is number one?
It's not.
You think it is legit?
I think, to be honest with you, Daniel, I looked at it and I turned it off. I mean, I had it going, but it didn't really pull me. I mean, I watched clips here and there, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, because I was trying to multitask, do other things. But I watched maybe like 5-10 minutes of it, and like, okay, let me go do something else and leave it on. And then you get occupied and doing laundry, or you taking care of the kids, or, you know, you doing whatever. But the movie is playing.
So well, I haven't had a chance to watch it. I think
just prove my point.
Well, I mean, we thought about watching it the other night, but we ended up doing something else.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm down to give it a chance, whatever. I'm, of course, you know,
we have a lot of rainy days, so it'd be a good time. It'd be a good time to sit home.
Wow.
Say, you know what? It's raining. It's a Sunday afternoon. It's family time.
But you know what, though? There is a lot of celebrities, though, that are moving to like the streaming services, even for movies.
Yeah.
I mean, Will Smith did that one, Bright, that movie Bright that was on Netflix.
Right.
I mean, you've got other people like Adam Sandler has been doing some movies on Netflix and some other big names. So, I mean, she's, you know, it's like the new wave, because I'm going to tell you right now, especially with AI coming out, the movie business they're going to have to do something, or it's about to be gone too. Because right now, TV as we know it, people don't watch TV. So of course, people are more into like Netflix, Hulu, YouTube, and stuff like that. So,
Tubi.
Man, I don't watch no Tubi.
Man, listen. I'm going to tell you something. I would never be too good that I cannot watch. If it's something, I don't care if it's on Tubi, I don't care if it's on any streaming channel. If it's a good quality movie and it's streaming in 4K, I will check it out. If I like it, for sure. Then I'm going to watch it. You know, I'm not worrying about what TV network it is. If it's hot and they got a good storyline,
Yeah, for sure.
I'll watch it.
I mean, there's some hot shows that, you know, that streaming services have nowadays.
Yeah.
And a lot of these streaming services, like the Netflix of the world, I mean, they're willing to pay you 10, 15, 20 million to do a movie, and that's about the same thing you're going to get from a studio, so why not?
You know? Speaking of Netflix, did you hear that Tyler Perry is doing another movie on Netflix?
No. Like a Madea movie or like a Jessica?
He's going to use pretty big artists. He got Teyana Taylor. He has Taraji Pinson. Couple other big time artists, some type of a plots with, you know, everybody know with Tyler Perry, it's going to have something to do with somebody cheating on somebody. It's going to have something to do with some woman getting done wrong. And yeah, the guy is going to be beat down. It's so like, you kind of know what's going to happen on the show. So it's supposed to be, he signed some kind of contract with Netflix that's supposed to be producing pretty soon.
Okay, that'd be cool.
I feel like it's going to be a modern day version of Madea, of like The Family That Prays or Diary of a Mad Black Woman or something. Watch.
Yeah.
Watch, world. I'm telling you.
Well,
you're going to see.
Do people still watch? Well, let me ask you this, because I really don't know. Is the Oprah Network still a thing? Because a lot of his movies and shows were on the Oprah Network, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes. And then he was supposed to buy BET. And then something happened with that situation. They didn't give him the price he wanted, and he didn't get to buy it. So a lot of his shows still comes on BET, and there are some comes on to OWN.
So OWN's still around.
Yeah, OWN's still around, yeah.
Okay. But that's the thing, because I don't have cable. Like I have YouTube TV. And maybe OWN comes on there. I don't know, but I've never looked for it.
Yeah.
Do you ever watch it, or do you?
No. Only shows that I really enjoy and that I was very, very tuned in to watching from Tyler Perry was The Have and Have Nots. And you guys can agree that was a great show from the beginning to the end. It started off kind of sketchy, like this is like some Tubi mess. And then it upgraded to the Amazon Prime, baby. It got good. Yeah. And I hated they got over. And then he had another one called The Oval, which is on BET right now. It's pretty good. I think The Have and Have Nots was probably one of his hottest shows. Then he got other shows like, as far as comedy-wise, it was good. But the drama always going to sell. Mm-hmm. So people love the drama. So.
Well, you know, speaking of drama and shows, I think you mentioned that, Powers is dropping this weekend.
Yes, sir. Final season of Power Book.
Let me ask you something, because.
First of all, did you watch it?
I watched Power.
No, you didn't watch it.
Yeah, I did. I watched Power the first two seasons?
See, okay. Guys, he's lost, because this is the thing. Power is not just power. You got power and you got Power Book.
Well, I know that there's like other things like that branched off from it. And that's when I lost
power.
It lost me. I lost power. I lost power whenever they started doing like, you know, a 50 Cent, like, you know, a spinoff and his character and all that. Like, I was just like, I ain't got time. But what I ended up and spoiler alert, if you haven't watched it, because it's been years, and if you haven't, then it's your fault. But like the last thing that I remember watching was, and correct me if I'm wrong, it was the season that I want to say, it was the final episode. I don't know if it was Ghost or what was the white dude's name in the movie?
Tommy
or the lawyer girl. One of them gets shot in the final episode of the season. I forget which one of them gets shot. And then after that, I didn't watch anymore. So I don't know what ended up happening.
Yeah.
And the other thing about it was, is because it was on, was it Showtime or Stars?
It was on Stars.
And man, I was like, man, I ain't paying for this. Like, I'm not going to pay a whole subscription just for one show. So I didn't keep up with it anymore, but in your opinion, the subsequent series that branched off of it, were pretty good.
Bro, it was fire. I'm telling you.
So this one that's coming out, what is it supposed to be?
This is the Power Book. This is when Tariq is in college and he graduated college, and his dad, quote unquote, supposed to be dead.
Ghost?
Ghost. Okay. Ghost must be dead. So Ghost is off the show. Tommy makes a couple of scenes here and there to come back to see Tariq and trying to make things. And Tariq getting a lot of trouble. But I love this show to the point because the fashion, like, if you guys know anything about me, I love fashion. Like, when I watch a good show or whether it's a performance, I'm always paying attention to the drip. Like, how they look, they swag, their attitudes, their personalities. And so, with Mary J. Blige, which everybody loves Mary J. Blige, she's part of the show, and her role fits perfect for the show. So, it's really good how they just... they maneuvered through the show, and I'm kind of like bummed like this is gonna be the final season of.
Isn't Red Man in one of these? Or yeah, Method Man, not Red Man, Method Man.
Method Man, he is the lawyer in the show, and I'm telling you, these cats are like on point always to the end, and Tariq is like he is really really good, and it's a good show, it really is, and I think what they're gonna end up doing, they're gonna. It's going to be the finale of Power Book. And I think they're going to come out with something that's new because from my understanding, it's something got to do with Ghost and 50 Cent and with Tommy. So because you got Raising Kanan, you have Black Mafia Fam, and you have Power Book. And then you also have... Power Force with Tommy. So all of them is part of the Power Universe. And I think they're all going like some type of collab together.
So 50 Cent really trying to go Marvel on this.
Bro, I'm telling you. 50 shut that thing down. And I mean, I'm telling you. Now, I ain't going to lie. In the beginning, I didn't watch Power because I was all stuck on watching Empire. So
I never watched Empire.
Oh my God. You need to start living, bro. Like... you guys, you tell me.
I watched Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Now, Game of Thrones was good too, as well. Yeah. Yes, it was. But in the comments, you tell me what do you like? Who'd you go for? Were you watching Power or were you watching Empire? At the time when it first came out, I was all in Power. Like, I mean, yeah, Empire was like the show because I liked Taraji Pinson, and I plus I liked Terrence Howard, and then you had all the other celebrities was coming doing performances during the show. It was really hot. It kept your excitement going. It wasn't boring. And then I started watching this Power and we started going to work. People started talking about Power was good. I'm thinking, Power? Like, really? Y'all going to choose Power over Empire? Like, what is wrong with y'all? And then I happened to watch it and I said, you know what? I get it. I apologize. I'm sorry. I slept on Power the whole time. But guess what? I'm awake now.
Yeah, no, I never watched the Empire. I remember coming up on coming on TV, but again, it was on network TV, and you had to like, you know, watch it at a certain time of the night on certain days, and I'm like, nah, and unfortunately, that's what it's probably been the death of TV as we know it, because nobody got time to sit at a certain time every Tuesday to watch a show. I mean,
but I will say this, when that show came on, with Power or Empire, the views was high. Like, people was really watching because we would go to work the next day and people were talking about, hey, did y'all watch the show? Did you watch the show? Spoiler alert, get off around me. I don't want to hear it in the back. I'm going to watch it tonight. So people was really tuned in. They was actually making their family time to actually get stuff done. And I'm one of those guys. I got everything I had to get done. Make sure I was sitting down to watch Empire.
Well, what do you
and think? We were tweeting about it at the same time. Yes, it was that serious in the house. Power was that show.
Well, did you ever hear like some interviews of her? I don't know, maybe a few months ago, and how she, you know, she's talking about like she didn't really have no money, like, you know, from she didn't really. And gotten paid from and films and stuff like that.
Yes, and she broke that thing down because that was under Lee Daniels. And what happened was that you have, if you notice with a lot of these TV shows, the fashion, that's what costs us the money. The publicist, the makeup, the all this stuff that you see, they got to pay those people. So if she's making $100,000, excuse me, off that one episode when it first started out, that's the budget. Because the show was just starting, and we don't know if it's going to do good for a new season or not. So they got to keep it the way it is. But you, by the time you pay your makeup artist, your fashion person, your publicist, then you walking away with little of nothing. She broke this thing down and said, you're walking away with maybe $20,000.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
Yeah. So.
Well, I mean, whose fault is it, though?
Actually, as when she broke the thing down, and this came out when The Color Purple came out, she said that, this is her word, she said, a lot of times people think we make it. Even Fantasia said the same thing. You have a lot of these artists and stars in Hollywood, you make it seem like they made it. And she said a lot of them are broke. A lot of them are really doing stuff on good faith, thinking that it's going to do big, and some of them are the flops. So they invest all their money and time into these shows or stuff like that in this current fashion, and then at the end, sometimes it's upside down. So that happens a lot.
Well, I mean, I guess she felt also that where she was or where she is in her career, she should be getting paid a certain amount.
I agree.
For her
performance
and stuff like that.
And she said she didn't start making money until she got with Tyler Perry. She said Tyler Perry was the first person to pay her almost more or just what she's worth. She said everybody else always, even with Hidden Figures. Any of these shows she did, Hidden Figures, what's the other one she did? Getting Hard Out Here for a Pimp.
Oh, you're talking about, I know what you're talking about. I forgot. With Terrence Howard. Yeah. Oh, man.
Baby Boy, all these movies like that. She really didn't make a lot of money on those TV shows, and well, she said that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of those movies back then, they didn't have a big budget anyway.
Right.
And they weren't paying that much. I mean, who was it that I watched recently?
Hustle and Flow is what it was.
Hustle and Flow. Yeah.
Excuse me.
Well, and I think Terrence Howard was suing the movie company over the fact that they didn't pay him any royalties for the singing that he did in the movie. They were saying that the character was singing the movie, therefore, because it's a character, there's no royalties to pay to him. But I mean, it is his voice and he was the character. Mm-hmm. So that was his argument.
Wow.
But I don't know. I think he's still fighting that. And but I don't know. Have you listened to him recently? He was on the news recently because he was on the Joe Rogan show, and he was talking some like off the wall stuff. You didn't see that, bro? You have to go back and see it. But he was like, I watched maybe like 30, 40, I'd say about an hour of the whole thing. I think the whole thing might be like 3 hours long. But the interview that he was having with Joe Rogan, he was talking about how he patented all these things that have to do with like I don't know, like the foundation of life. Like, you know, he called it the flower of life. And it's all this like metaphysical, like scientific stuff, which I didn't realize the dude's very smart, but at the same time, the stuff that he was talking about, like it was entertaining to listen to, but I was like, dude, like you're not making any sense. Mm-hmm. But anyways, I thought maybe you had seen that because it was pretty hilarious to see him on the Joe Rogan show, just talking some crazy stuff. Like the biggest thing that I came up with that I can remember him saying, that how can one times one be one? he was trying to say that one times one is something else. It can't be one. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So anyway, so he's a great actor. I don't know about
I hope he was acting then too.
I don't know about anything else. But, you know, his thing with films and actors, obviously, I think it's today, if I'm not mistaken. Is it today that Bad Boys comes out?
It's Friday.
Oh, it's tomorrow? Mm-hmm. So Bad Boys 4 comes out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And Marty Marr, you know, Martin Lawrence, apparently was addressing some rumors about his health following some public concerns over his slurred speech and difficulty walking. Apparently, during a recent interview with co-star Will Smith, Lawrence reassured fans that he is healthy as hell and asked them to stop spreading gossip about his wellness.
In that case, and when I saw it, it looked like he was confused because he, you know, he was doing Bad Boys or was he doing Big Mama? Because he looked bloated and he couldn't move. I said, dang. I said,
he looked bloated?
To me, yeah. When I watched the clip.
Yeah.
And when he was doing press for the movie, he seemed like he just had a real good meal the night before and had a lot of grease and cholesterol. Like he just couldn't move. Like he was just stuffed.
Well, some people say that maybe he just, you know, was a little intoxicated. Maybe he just had an edible or something. Or was he a little high? I mean, who knows? But, I mean.
I felt like Will Smith noticed it and he tried to do all this extra so all the attention won't be on Martin. It'll be on Will. So I think Will noticed it. Now, Will ain't lost. I'm gonna tell you something about Will Smith. He ain't lost a beat. Will Smith look like he bathed in money. Like, his fashion, his clothes, his skin, his hair. I mean, the dude looks good. To be 113 years old, he looks great.
He's a vampire.
Yeah, I swear he probably is, bro, because he was doing like little stunts. He had put something on TikTok that a stunt how he had the gun and the camera in front of his face. You see that?
Yeah.
And how he was walking and showing how the first scene of the movie. I'm thinking, this guy looks really good. Like, he looks, for himself, for his age, he looks good. And Martin Lawrence, I think he looks good too. But I just felt like Martin Lawrence, to me, when I look at him now, all I can see is Big Mama. All he needs is the wig, you know, because his face is so plumpy, yeah. You know. And I get it. We all get to that point where, you know, you put on the pounds and stuff, but... You know, but you got your partner right here, Will Smith, look like he just stepped out of the magazine.
Yeah. So when are we going to go see it?
Probably never weary.
Really?
I think it's going to be whack, bro.
Why?
Honestly, Bad Boys was great. The first and second and the third was great because it was in Miami. Because, you know, we love Miami. You know how we do.
This one's not in Miami?
I don't know where this one's at, but I just don't think it's going to be as that good. I think you start getting past two. Then you cutting the clothes.
Well,
this is not no Fast and Furious. So stop it. Please. Please let it go. Let it go. It's not like you broke. So stop it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'll have to see it to see. Maybe I'll get some initial reactions from people, see what they say.
Because I just don't. They're going to J-Lo him.
Well, I mean. The thing about them though is they have good chemistry.
They do.
And like
I will say that
does a lot for a movie.
That's true. Yeah.
And I wasn't crazy about the storyline on the third one, you know, with him having a kid and this and that. Like, I don't know.
But it was funny though. It was funny.
No, yeah, it was it had its funny moments, but like the overall plot, I was like, man, we waited this long and it just didn't seem like the best script overall. But yeah, it had its moments.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this one can, I mean, obviously you want to change it up and not sort of retell the same story per se, but hopefully it's a good script that still has a lot of the comedic relief and chemistry that you see from both of them. But, you know, but I mean, not to spoil anything, but I think like it, like in this one, I think Martin Lawrence Brand has a heart attack, or he's like, I don't know. He's got some health scares.
Whenever you guys go see it, if you are Martin Lawrence or a Will Smith fan, please let us know in the comments. Let us know, please, because I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to watch it. And he's not going to watch it either. He just saying
I was going to ask if you wanted to go.
He's not going to watch it, guys. I know him like a book. You guys go watch it. Let us know in the comments. Tell me what you think about it.
I was going to ask if you wanted to go watch it, just to review it.
Well, yeah, like, where you want to go?
Oh, man, I don't know.
See?
Well, I'm trying to think of my schedule, but it probably wouldn't be this weekend. Although it would be the best time to go.
Oh, if you're going
to
go see
to
it.
To be able to talk about it next time. But I don't know. I'll let you know. You work this weekend?
I am. No, I'm off. Yeah. But my mom's birthday was a couple of days ago, so we're going to celebrate this weekend.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. If you let me know, we can
I mean, we can talk after hours and see if
we call J Lo so she won't come with us and she can get some pointers for our next movie.
I mean, you know she's taken, right?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. She need to take herself out these movies.
Man, well, another thing that I want that I saw in the news was Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, like their daughter Shiloh. Apparently she's dropping the Pitt last name from her surname. So she goes by, well, she used to go by Shiloh Jolie Pitt. But now it's just going to be Jolie. And apparently there's been at least a couple of other kids that are no longer using the Pitt last name. Now, for those that may not know, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt have like 6 kids. I think they had like 2 of their own and adopted 4 of them. And some of them are adults now. I think they're like the ages range from like 19 all the way down to like 15. But so I just want to read you something that I came across that talks about this situation. So Brad Pitt's daughter, Shiloh, has filed legal documents to drop Pitt from her surname, choosing to go by Shiloh Jolie as she turned 18. This decision is reportedly causing significant distress for Pitt, who has expressed pain over the growing distance between him and his children. Sources suggest that the ongoing legal battles and strained relationships between Pitt and Angelina Jolie's divorce have contributed to this situation. Now, before I continue, let me just ask you this. Are you familiar with the whole Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt situation? In regards to...
A little bit, not much. Not much.
So... What I was able to see, or what for what I know, is that they filed for divorce. Well, actually, Angelina Jolie filed for divorce. I don't know exactly when it was, and it's been several years ago.
Right.
And they've been in this like custody battle over the kids, but they've also been like fighting over like some estate in France, like this vineyard, mm-hmm. like 1,300. You know, acres. They've been fighting over that and some other stuff. But what I found interesting is that Angelina Jolie apparently filed for divorce a few days after an incident that happened during a flight in their private jet. Apparently, the whole family was flying, and apparently or allegedly Brad Pitt like got physical with one of the kids. I don't know what he did to him, like hit him or whatever. And out of that situation, a few days later, apparently she filed for divorce, and some court filings that came out later started talking about how you know, Brad Pitt had been abusive to the kids and to her. And that also kind of fueled, you know, her wanting to get divorced or whatever. Now, obviously, whenever you're going through a divorce, there's going to be a lot of back and forth from each party. Now, apparently, like Protective Services, like did like an investigation on Brad Pitt based on these allegations that he was being abusive or whatever, whatever. And then they never found anything against them, against him in terms of any physical abuse or anything like that. However, when you see the kids, like, you know, not wanting to keep his last name and this ongoing battle between their parents, like, even though it's happening at this level, I feel like those type of situations happens a lot with regular folks. And children get caught up in the middle of it. And I'm not saying Brad is innocent in any of this, because I think he has mentioned in the past that he's had issues with alcohol. But at the same time, whenever I see this huge battle where now the kids seem to be against their dad, it does make you, at least it makes me wonder about a few things, but I just want you to get your take on that right quick.
You know, kids will tell the truth. Kids will let you know real quick that either they're for you or they're against you. And I feel like over the years, they've seen Brad Pitt in different stages of their life, whether he was good. I'm pretty sure there were times he was the best dad in the world. He had dad of the year. He was a monster. I mean, you know, sometimes kids don't understand what parents go through. You know, so you have all these personalities starting to be developed inside the household with not just one kid, not two, but you're talking about five or six kids. So, of course, you're going to have a lot of, like, attitudes and stuff going to collide together because, you know, that happens. You know, got girls, got guys, still whatnot. But I think the kids seen some things that really didn't register with them and made them felt some type of way, whether it was chastising, whether they treat their mom. Because at the end of the day, kids gonna always going to side with their mom. They love their mom. You know, it doesn't matter what the dad do, but the mom can do no harm. So I feel like the kids seen some things that the mom did or vice versa. And the kids felt like, you know what? I don't want to be a Pitt, you know? I want to grow up. And I guess sometimes it can go either way. It can feel like they didn't want to just associate themselves with the last name Pitt because of their father, or they don't want all this extra publicity on the fact that, oh, that's Brad Pitt's son or daughter. Oh, that's Angela Jolie's son or daughter. They want to become their own person, themselves. And because not everybody wants to be in the public eye. They might want just a regular, normal life and get a job at the local grocery store, you know, work at Fresh Market.
Oh, that ain't going to be them.
Well, I'm saying maybe that's what they may want, because at the end of the day, they know if they're a Pitt, people are going to treat them different. Well, it could be good. It could be bad.
Well, with the last name Jolie, it's going to be the same. Their mom is, you know, very famous. Yeah. But
really nobody, they famous, but they not really like, they're not like a Will Smith and Jada Pickett, you know.
No, but Angela Jolie is very well known.
She's well known.
I mean, she's not making any movies or anything right now. And to the point that she's not like in the limelight per se. She's kind of not faded, but she just kind of chose not to be doing anything right now.
And I think she gets it. I think she really wants to be a mom. I think once you have that many children, amount of kids, you need to just be a mom. Now, you done made your career. You know, you got plenty of them. You got a lot of iconic scenes, iconic movies that came out was great in sales, and people will forever remember you from these movies. So at this point, I'm just going to be a mom, raise my children, give them the life they want, and move on my life.
No, I mean, and that very well could be, but, you know, when it came to their relationship as a whole, to be quite honest with you, man, like, I feel like, bro, you messed up. You should have stayed with Jennifer Aniston. Your ass should have stayed with Jennifer Aniston from the get-go. You're married to her. I think they were married for like 5 years. And then, as we all know, like, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie started working on that movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which is a great movie. I got to be honest, it's one of my favorite movies because the movie is great. But their relationship started, you know, during the filming of that. And then, of course, you know, ended up cheating on Jennifer Aniston, got divorced from her, and then started dating Angelina Jolie. Subsequently, obviously, had kids with her and all of that. Mm-hmm. But here's my thing. And I feel like a story like this has so many layers that I feel like regular folks can, like, learn from. And you know, but I'm just going to talk about it from a dude standpoint, you know, because there's so many angles and we don't have time to kind of go over all the angles. But I was thinking about this when I read the story or whatever. Like, first of all, when you've married someone, and in this case you had Jennifer Aniston, you know, girl next door, Friends, very, you know, very popular show. She was very well liked, you know, like I said, very, you know, girl next door. But then you got Angelina Jolie, which is like this, like, sultry, sort of like vixen, sexy sort of like vibe that she's got going on. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, she was married to Billy Bob Thornton at one point, you know, in her early 20s. And I don't know if you remember, that was when they would, like, carry each other's blood in a vial around their necks and stuff like that.
I do remember that, yeah.
So I can see not just Brad Pitt, but any man would be attracted to this, like, very mysterious, sultry, very sort of vixen-like, you know, woman, even though you're married. But I can see the attraction in that, and, you know, this sort of like, what's the word, like, almost like mysterious, like, sort of a vibe or you know, sense that she, you know, exudes. Mm-hmm. So, but I feel like when you look at their lives in retrospect, and, like, the way they move, like, I feel like a lot of times that happens with a lot of men. You start seeing a very, you know, shinier object that you think is going to be like, ooh, you know, this is it. But in the end, it ends up being like the ruin of you, you know? And again, I don't know their lives. I don't know everything that took place, but I'm just looking at certain, you know, narratives that I've kind of point, you know, pinpointed at from this. Like, for example, like, one of the things that I noticed was that Angelina Jolie herself decided not to use her dad's last name anymore. Her dad is an actor, John Voight. I don't know if you know him. You know, her dad is also a famous actor, John Voight. So, you know, her name was Angelina Jolie Voight. But she had a very, you know, I guess, tumultuous relationship with her dad and didn't get along. And she dropped his name. So now, fast forward, we have a situation where the same thing is happening with her kids dropping their dad's last name. So it's almost like the cycle is repeating itself. Mm-hmm. So if I, to some of the guys that may be listening out there, you know, and again, I'm not saying every woman, and this applies to every woman, but I feel like as men, you have to realize that, you know, there are a certain caliber of women that it doesn't matter how hot they are, but if they don't have a good relationship with their dad, to me, that's a red flag, because that means that you probably have some kind of daddy issues that at some point is going to come back to haunt you. Now, obviously, there are other things. That's not the all, end all be all. But I think when you look at it from a, more macro level, a situation like that, and I don't know if, Jennifer Aniston had a dad or not, or whether they got along well or not, but the fact that Brad Pitt was taken away from his marriage by this other person, and obviously they're both at fault, and granted they did get married and they did have kids, but now look at the situation. And to be honest, I don't even know that the marriage was all that great. At least, we don't know, but from everything that came out, in the divorce papers and all that, it doesn't seem like it probably was. And the other thing about it was that I was starting to think is, yeah, you're right. Kids do tell the truth a lot about things. But I've seen situations where the mother or the wife or the estranged wife, in trying to be vindictive and trying to get revenge and control the situation, will pit the kids against their dad to sort of, manipulate and control them. So I'm not saying that's what's going on here, but it is something that does happen. Right. And, that's why whether you're a man or a woman, you have to be careful who you end up with. And you really have to do your homework. And if they don't, if they don't have a good relationship, if a woman doesn't have a good relationship with her dad, or the man, for that matter, doesn't have a good relationship, with his mom or with his parents, that should ring some, some bells. But anyways, what do you think?
I agree. I think I agree with you when you said if a child, a daughter, doesn't have a great relationship with her parents, whether it's a father or the mother, and you're trying to build a relationship with us, with a potential spouse or a partnership with someone, that's not good, Or even with the siblings. Like, if you're trying to build a relationship with this person, and then you have a mom or a dad, and you have siblings that you spend no time with, that's not a good sign, because you are starting off wrong already. Because that, like you said earlier, that will be a flag. Like, okay, why are you trying to invest into me and my family to build a relationship, and you don't need to spend time with your own family? You don't need to spend time with your own father or your own mom, which there could be issues behind it, the reason why you don't. But I would want to work on that first, at the end of the day. And I feel like when you spend time and you try to work on your family first, because at the end of the day, your family going to be there regardless. I feel like if you have family, if God bless you with family, that should be your main priority. That should be your main purpose first before you try to build a solid foundation with the companionship with anyone, because family going to be there through all seasons of your life, with things going good, things going bad, good times or sad, doesn't matter.
And, you know, and this is not to say that if a woman doesn't have a good relationship with her father, any man that she dates is going to be a doomed relationship. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying, as a man, or if I was giving advice to my son, while that may not be the case, I would rather not find out. And I'd rather, because there's way more fish in the sea to choose from than, you know, why put yourself in some of these situations. So it is an unfortunate situation when the kids have to be kind of be in the middle of it all. And I don't know, you know, for all we know, Brad Pitt is this like abusive or whatever guy, which that in of itself it is an issue. And if that was to be the case, which I don't know, that's something that he needs to deal with as well. But especially if, you know, if he's got a history of like alcohol. Now, I know that men, especially when they drink, they can become more violent. That's just, it is a reality. So whether that's something that was impacting Brad Pitt, I don't know. But I just know that this whole relationship, how it came about, it just didn't sit well. You know, you're cheating on your spouse and with the next one. And the next one is knows that you're married, and it's just very messy. And what we're seeing now is probably a result of a situation where these two people weren't that compatible, and they were just probably just, you know, getting together out of lust, really. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Any final thoughts on that?
No.
Man, well, I got one last story. And since we're talking about kids and stuff like that. So are you familiar with Ebony K. Williams? You know who she is?
No.
You've never heard of her?
I haven't seen her out in the streets, so I'm not sure.
Bro. Now, she is an attorney, sort of social media personality. She has like this like show where she's a judge, kind of like Judge Judy, kind of similar to that. I think it's called, maybe I forget the name of the show. Maybe it's called Judge Williams. I don't know, but she's got that going on. And I think she was also on The Real Housewives of New York City. Did you ever watch that?
Yeah.
I never watched it either. I used to, the only Real Housewives that I ever watched was the Housewives of Atlanta. Because that was the funniest one to me. But anyways, so I'm sure a lot of you probably do know who Ebony K. Williams is. If not, let me read this a little bit. So Ebony K. Williams, known for her roles on The Real Housewives of New York City and Equal Justice with Judge Ebony K. Williams. That's the name of the show. She's expecting her first child, a baby girl, that's due on August 16th. Williams, who's 40 years old, announced her pregnancy through People magazine, sharing her journey to motherhood via sperm donation and in vitro fertilization. She says that she utilized some frozen eggs that she had an egg retrieval at the age of 34. And this is what she used to get, you know, to get pregnant with. She describes her pregnancy as a remarkable miracle due to the complexities and the uncertainty of IVF. She said that at one point she didn't want to have kids, but as she got older, she realized that that's something that she did want after all. So I know that we talked about in the past about like having kids, like, you know, later on in life. I think at one point, in one of our podcasts, a few episodes back, you mentioned like even getting together with a 50-year-old having kids if you guys really wanted to. And you gave me this whole list of women that were having kids in their 40s and 50s. And I was like, all right, cool. But what I found interesting about this story is that, and you may have, I don't know if you listened to this or if you came across this at the time, but a few months ago, you know, she gave a talk, or she was on another podcast or something, and she was telling women, like, hey, if you know for a fact that you want to have a family, and you're also trying to go to college and all that, don't just prioritize getting your school degree, but also prioritize getting your Mrs. degree. I think is how she put it. And she said, if you're in your early 20s, like, and in college, that is the best time you're going to find the greatest pool of the opposite sex in order to find your mate. So if you know you want to get married and start a family, make that a priority while also trying to pursue your career or whatever. And some people gave her a hard time about that because they're like, well, what are you trying to say? Like, you know, women can't wait till later to have kids and this and that. And at least for me, what I gather from that was, and she also talked about it, was that, yes, women can wait until they're 30, 40, or even 50 to have kids, but it's going to be a lot harder to do so. You're going to have to jump through a lot more hoops in order to do so. Heck, she had to go through IVF. IVF is not cheap. Obviously, she makes money. She can't afford it. You know, a round of IVF might cost $15,000, $20,000 a pop. So if women think that they can, like, if we're telling women to wait until they're in their 30s, 40s, or 50s to have kids, but we're not telling them, hey, you may have to go down this road, and this road is going to be very expensive, and a lot of you probably can't even afford it. So if you know for a fact you want to start a family, make sure you prioritize that in your 20s. And I think she even mentioned in that whole segment that, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this as well. She mentioned that a woman's sexual market value in the dating pool decreases as they age. Not saying their value as a woman decreases, but their sexual market value decreases as they age because their ability to be fertile decreases as they age. So the pool of men that are available to them, especially as they get older, gets smaller and smaller. I mean, heck, she had to get a sperm donor because she couldn't find someone, I guess, that she was compatible enough to be with, marry, have kids with. So I don't know. I feel like this is another one of those stories that has a lot of layers that, you know, people can kind of look at, not just for what it is, but also realize, hey, you know, there's some wisdom that you can get from this too. What do you think?
She must have been a bleached blonde, bad built, butch body.
What? What are you talking about?
Never mind.
I know where that's from, but do you even know who she is?
I do not.
All right. Well. First of all,
that's you about it.
First of all, she's very well built.
Blue, bad built, butch body,
and she's not blonde. You've never seen her,
honestly, Daniel. I have not.
But okay, I'm gonna show you a picture of her. But before I do, what do you think about the situation?
She needed to go with God. And hopefully, you know.
You're tripping.
I do know who she is now. I do remember her
being. Oh, yeah. You know who she is now. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, she is beautiful.
Is she still butch and built however you said she's built? Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
She's not a butch blonde.
Okay.
She's not bad built. She's not a butch body.
Exactly.
She's gorgeous.
Okay.
All right. I mean, I don't know, man.
To be honest with you, man, I feel like she's a cautionary tale. And I'm happy for her that she's able to be pregnant and fulfill one of her, desires in terms of motherhood and wanting to be a mother. I'm just sad for her that she had to go this route in order to do so.
Yeah.
And I feel that society, in a lot of ways, has kind of played women in the sense that society has told women, hey, get your bag, do this, do that. And like, oh, you know, don't worry about family, that can wait, blah, blah, blah. Get your bag, do this, do that. But they don't tell women that, okay, you can get your bag and this and that. But at the end of the day, by the time you want to have kids and you're 35, 40 years old, there may not be men out there that want to have kids with you. Mm-hmm. And that's just a sad reality. And I think that she has been done, and she's gotten some flack for it, but I think she's in realizing because of her own situation that young women need to know that, hey, not everyone is out here needs to have kids, but if you know you want to have a family and kids, you might want to do that early and not wait like I did. And I think that's sound advice, you know? I mean, what do you think?
I agree.
And one of the things that that we, and I don't know, you tell me, because I mean, obviously, you know, you out here, hopefully you're trying to get married at some point. And I think at some point we had discussions about this, and you mentioned that you would date someone as old as 50 years old and have kids with them. But you mentioned like adoption, but for example, if a woman knows that she wants to have kids of her own, she can't wait till she's 50. Mm-hmm. But if she does want to have kids into their 40s and 50s, like, okay, adoption may be the next best thing. And it's just, I feel like a lot of these things sometimes are not being told to women when they're young. And then as they get older, it starts hitting them in the face. And by then it's kind of too late. Yeah. But again, this doesn't apply to everybody, but because not every woman needs, wants to be a mother, definitely doesn't need to be a mother. But the one that it does, I think Ebony K. Williams' story certainly is something to think about or to look at her experience. For your own personal gain in terms of like, hey, let not this happen to me, you know?
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
No.
All right. Well, I think that's all the stories that we got for today. I think we've gone over for like about an hour and a half or so. Jesus. But yeah, thanks everybody for sticking around. If you've been here till the end, if you have anything to say, comment about anything that we've talked about, if you agree with it or if you don't, let us know,
And feel free to be very opinionated. Put down what you think. We want to know.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely would like to hear from you guys. But again, thank you for sticking around. Make sure to follow us on all the socials. Read Between the Lines. We're on like I said, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. Obviously, if you're listening to us on the pod, on the podcast, we're on Apple. What's the other one?
Spotify.
And actually, we're on a bunch of other ones. You know, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your local library. You can find us there.
Local library. Yeah, check us out. And then, of course, on YouTube. So, you know, help the channel grow and let people know, you know, about the show. But thank you again for listening. And we'll see you next time.